This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. And now for more interpretation of today's testimony before the 9/11 Commission, we turn to two former government officials. Philip Hyman was Deputy Attorney General in the Clinton administration. He testified before the 9/11 Commission last December. Thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome. Pleasure to be here.
And also to Harry Skip Brandon, former Deputy Assistant Director of the FBI, with responsibility for national security and counterterrorism programs. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon.
Skip Brandon, I wanted to turn first to you. We heard two portraits of the FBI today, first from Commissioner Thomas Kane, who presented what he called an indictment of the FBI, or the portrait painted by former FBI Director Louis Freeh, talking about an agency that was underfunded, not enough agents, hampered by legal authority and what it could do. Which portrait do you think is accurate? Or both?
Neither.
Neither.
The real FBI is somewhere right in the middle. They needed to make some changes. They're making some changes now, but I think that the real answer is somewhere in the middle.
Meaning that there are elements of both, but it could have done more with what it had?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. What happened on 9/11 was a national tragedy, and there were mistakes made. I'm not saying anybody's to blame. There were mistakes made. The FBI was not leaning forward all the way and trying to pick up the intelligence to stop an event. They weren't not trying to, but in fact they didn't pick it up.
Philip Hyman, to you now, one of the things that came up a lot today was this notion of the wall. We just heard Larry Abramson refer to that in what he had to say. A wall between what FBI intelligence could do and what FBI criminal investigations could do, where information could not be shared to protect a criminal case. What purpose does that wall serve when it existed, and what was done to protect it?
The purpose it served, and I think it was a mistake from the beginning, not by any administration, but basically by the courts, the purpose it served was to assure that the somewhat easier standards for getting a wiretap order or a bugging order under the intelligence authorities, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, wouldn't be used rather than the somewhat harder, they're both pretty close to each other, authorities that you could get for a criminal wiretap or a criminal bug. It was intended to make sure that if you were trying to prosecute, you used the statute somewhat harder that required you to have probable cause that you would gather information of a crime rather than the intelligence wiretap. I must say that I think that the claim that this was a big barrier, I've already said I think it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that this was a big barrier seems to me to be just baloney. I wouldn't have had it. I would have changed it. It was changed properly in the Patriot Act. But the criminal people were always free to give the intelligent people information other than stuff that came out of a grand jury or perhaps some forms of wiretap. The flow, the problem, what they call the wall, was a limitation on what the intelligence people could give the criminal people. And yet we didn't have any trouble making cases against an array of spies and using wiretaps, using both intelligence and criminal wiretaps against somebody like Aldridge Ames. I don't know of a case where it's really turned out to be difficult. And I've seen this since the late 70s.
Mm-hmm. Skip Brandon, would this be a common complaint, though, among agents that there were things that prevented them from sharing information across to breach this wall? They couldn't do it.
There was some concern about that. I think I agree with Phil, and of course both of us are a bit dated, but if you will, during our time, the barrier did not seem to be there. The thing that seems to be in question now is whether or not the barrier was raised quite a bit higher in 1995-96.
Referenced by Attorney General John Ashcroft to a memo that came out from one of the commission members, I'm assuming Jamie Gorelick there, that raised the standard even higher.
That apparently did raise the standard to a much higher degree, although on the other hand, Attorney General Reno said this morning that she didn't think that it did. So we have, even today, we have some confusion and question about whether the wall was really built much higher.
It really was workable. I think it was a mistake. I think the present system is better. But to say that was a major cause of difficulties, as Attorney General Ashcroft did, you know, a major reason for September 11th is just to use a a dumb procedure as an excuse for lack of energy, lack of analytic capability, lack of reprogramming, lack of follow-through, lack of leadership.
Let's look forward just a bit. We heard both former FBI Director Louis Freeh and former Attorney General Janet Reno today say, don't create a separate domestic security service. Don't go there. Louis Freeh actually said, if you do that, watch the wall become a fortress. What do you think, Skipper Enden?
Well, I do agree with that. For one thing, I think generally our experience is that when we have a problem, we tend to create a new agency to address it, and I don't think the success rate is very high. To my way of thinking, the answer is the FBI can do it. Let's make them do it. Let's help them do it.
Philip Hyman?
I agree with Skip with only one modification. I think the best answer is to build within the FBI a somewhat separate service, which recruits separately for intelligence, trains separately or partially separately, assigns, promotes, does all of those things. And I think it probably ought to be headed by a deputy director who gets an appointment from the president and is confirmed by the Senate. In other words, I think that you do recruit somewhat differently for intelligence or for enforcement agents. I think you should be training differently, and I think you should be there should be career paths that build an analytic capability, among others. So all of those things seem to me to suggest a separate path and a separate service within the FBI.
Because there was testimony today that talked about a deficit of strategic analysis within the Bureau, separated or differentiated from tactical analysis. Skip Brandon, what's the difference there?
Well, the tactical analysis, to my understanding, would be the analysis that's almost day-to-day, what you're going to do now, what somebody else is likely to do tomorrow. Strategic is doing really long-range planning, really trying to go way out and determine what's likely to come way down the road.
The analytic, the use of analysis at the FBI through Democratic and Republican administrations was, frankly, a disgrace. I was reading in the report of the commission staff. The analysts really were frequently clerks who were getting coffee and doing things like that. There was no pretense of a serious effort to develop an analytic capability.
And we'll have to leave it there. Philip Hyman and Henry Brandon, thanks very much.
Surely.
Thank you.